So Hare Krishna, I'm a little sorry. I somehow yesterday went. I couldn't bring myself to go to rest, and I've read a lot in the night, and then I've got up late. So I'm Krishna. I don't know if you also sometimes feel this. Sometimes we feel, I wish to get out of the daily routine. It's very strong in my personality. It has to do with astrological influences, but then when it's time to go to rest, one feels, this is the most... This rest is my greatest enemy at this moment. I will not surrender to him. You know, who is stronger? We feel very bored, or we feel at this moment, finally my desire to know more about Krishna is stronger than my desire for comfort and physical well-being, and we just think, let me follow this desire. There are many reasons, but I must confess, I sometimes feel, actually very, at this stage of my life, I very much feel, let us look for better solutions than the ones which we already know and which have brought us to the result where we are at the moment. I think that's natural when one gets older. I wanted today to speak to all of you about a theme which I have discussed a lot with my friends in India. It's the theme of how to give, let me say, enthusiasm to our practice, or how to bring deep devotional feelings to our practice of Krishna consciousness. I remember sitting with one of my friends alone at this very wonderful kund, and we sat, no one could see us, we sat a little on one of these. There was a samadhi next to the kund, and we sat before the samadhi. To our left, there was a kadamba tree, and in that kadamba tree, a peepal tree grew. The peepal has heart-shaped leaves, and it says, wherever a kadamba and a peepal tree are seen together, that's where Radha and Krishna are 100% present. So on the left was this unusual tree where two trees have grown in one. And then one of the branches, there was a kingfisher. Have you ever seen a kingfisher? It's a bird which has a blue suit, a long beak. It looks extremely beautiful, and it is known for flying over a pond, and then it falls down almost like a stone, goes very deep into the water, and then catches its prey. That's a kingfisher. And I remember we sat and we talked about things of the heart. And then this kingfisher came and started to go deep into the pond. And both of us, we felt we would try to follow this kingfisher's example. We also have to go deeper in the lake of Krishna consciousness to really find what we are looking for. We thought this kingfisher had acted as our guru. This is what I meant yesterday when I said, when you go on pilgrimage, you should look for the signs which God sends you. And we felt this kingfisher was a sign sent by Krishna, especially because it was dressed in dark blue. We felt like this at that moment. And we felt encouraged in our Krishna consciousness, and we felt, oh, the Lord has spoken to us through a sign, just like I said yesterday when I drove to Yahorina and I saw the Zenitsa sign. We came closer to Zenitsa, then Zenitsa 10 kilos. So this signposts, very important in our spiritual life. And this year, my signposts, which Krishna put up all over Vrindavan, they're all pointing me not towards Zenitsa or Yahorina, I think you know, but to chanting or to practicing Krishna consciousness more with deep devotional feelings, not so much with the routine, out of a routine. It doesn't mean that routine is not good, no, but it helps us make our days easier when everything is arranged and we know. And for instance, if you have a routine to eat every day at noontime, then there will always be vegetable because you know, and the people who are with you know that's the routine, and you don't have to talk every day about purchasing new food or where to do it. It's clear. A routine helps us in our life. But as spiritualists, we are not satisfied to just arrange our lives, our material lives in this world, according to practical considerations. We are more interested really to come in contact with this deep devotional feelings for Krishna, which will give our practice wings to fly. Do you know what is a wing? So I would like to talk about a shloka from the 11th canto today, for I believe it will inspire you very much. And I've written it down for you. It is a kind of long purport. I suggest to you something which I have suggested to the devotees in Krishna Balaram temple and other places, that as I'm reading, you try to pass the information through your mind. That's very easily done by just repeating it in your mind. Huh? Devotion, direct experience of the Supreme Lord, and detachment from other things. These three come simultaneously for one who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the same way as pleasure, nourishment, and relief from hunger come simultaneously and increasingly with each bite for a person engaged in eating. I think this verse, some of us know, it is said that devotion is like a pleasure you derive while eating. The direct experience of the Lord is like nourishment, which gives your life strength, and the detachment from other things comes to you as the relief from hunger comes simultaneously and increasingly as you are eating. So now we read from the person. Sila, as his purport, Sila Jiva Goswami has explained this analogy as follows. Bhakti or devotion may be compared to tushti, satisfaction, because they both take the form of pleasure. Parishanubhava, experience of the Supreme Lord, and pushti, nourishment, are analogous because both sustain one's life. Finally, virakti, detachment, and chudapaya, cessation of hunger, may be compared because both free one from further hankering so that one may experience shanti or peace. Huh? When you are actually developing detachment, this is a relief. It's actually a curse to have attachments in the mind. In the old times, the medieval cultures knew about Tsahir. Tsahir is a concept which takes possession of your heart and grows and grows and grows until you only can think of this concept. This happens, for instance, when you fall in love. You only can think of the person. It's almost embarrassing how much your thought is occupied by this person or by a car which you want to buy. So, this is a tsahir, a concept which grows and grows. In our language, it would be an attachment which takes possession of the house of your heart. It's a medieval concept which I just learned about. So you develop shanti or peace when you are free from this monster in your heart, the monster of attachment. The purport continues, a person who is eating not only becomes uninterested in other activities, but increasingly becomes uninterested in the food itself, according to his satisfaction. On the other hand, however, according to Jiva Goswami, although one who is experiencing the blissful personality of Godhead Krishna becomes uninterested in anything other than Krishna, his attachment to Krishna himself increases at every moment. So when you make more experience of Krishna and have more bhakti for Krishna, don't think you become uninterested in Krishna, like a person who has more experience of food and feels more nourished becomes maybe uninterested in the food. No, no, your attachment to Krishna will grow. Therefore, it is to be understood that the transcendental beauty and qualities of the Supreme Lord are not material, since one never becomes satiated by relishing the bliss of the Supreme Lord. The word virakti is very significant in this verse. Virakti means detachment, whereas tyaga means renunciation. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, the word renunciation can be used in a situation in which one considers giving up an enjoyable object. But by considering everything to be potential paraphernalia in the service of Lord Krishna, as described in the previous verse, one need not give thought to renunciation, for one uses everything in the proper way in the service of the Lord. Yuktam vairagyam uchyate. Do you follow this concept? A person may practice tyaga or renunciation if there is an object which he considers enjoyable but at the same time dangerous for his spiritual life. At that time he will say to himself, no, I will give this up. I will not give in to this. But the concept of vairagya is different from tyaga. The concept of detachment is different from the concept of just giving up something. The concept of detachment is that you may surround yourself with all these material things, but you think them to be only objects of service for Krishna. You don't consider them yourself, your own. For instance, there is a car outside the door. It is an expensive card. It is called Radha Sharanagati card. And this card is used in the preaching service, and those on whose name this car is registered don't consider themselves to be the owners of the car. It's meant for service of Krishna. It's not ours. Now, the rest of the purport, I don't know, it's a very long purport. I will jump a little and come to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti's purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the path of Bhakti Yoga is so joyful and practical that even in the stage of sadhana bhakti, that's when we just practice to be bhaktas, in which one follows rules and regulations without any advanced understanding. Even in this path, one can perceive the ultimate result, as stated by Srila Rupa Goswami. Iha yasya hare dasye kamana manasa gira nikila svapyavastasu jivan mukta sauchyate. As soon as one surrenders to the Supreme Lord Krishna, giving up all other activities, one is immediately to be considered a liberated soul. The Supreme Lord Krishna is so merciful that when a living entity understands that the personality Krishna is the source of everything and surrenders to the Lord, Krishna personally takes charge of him and reveals to him within his heart that he is under the Lord's full protection. Thus, devotion, direct experience of the personality of Godhead, and detachment from other objects become manifest even in the beginning stage of Bhakti Yoga. Since Bhakti Yoga begins at the point of liberation, wow, other processes have their final goal, have as their final goal salvation or liberation. But according to Bhagavad Gita, if one surrenders to Krishna, one is immediately liberated and thus begins his career as a transcendental devotee with complete confidence in the Lord's protection. Hare Krishna. That's what the purport. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Bhakyata Desatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mabu Nityananda Yadvaita Garadha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This wonderful and important verse of the Bhagavatam tells us what to expect on our journey in Krishna consciousness. It told us that we will develop a devotional feeling for Krishna in the beginning. Then there will be a direct experience of Krishna. And finally, we will also become free from the attachments in the heart to the material world. We will become detached, actually. These are the three signposts, or let us say stations, which you should look for in your spiritual journey. Just like, for instance, when we journey to Jahorina, then we should look for signposts like Tusla, Srenjanin, Zenitsa, Srenjanin would be wrong, you know, if you would all of a sudden see a signpost, Srenjanin, you would think, my God, I'm not on the right path any longer. And then finally there will be Sarajevo, and then Yahorina, which sounds a lot like Yahoo. In our spiritual life, we should also be careful to look for these signposts. Are we making advancement in devotional feelings for Krishna, bhakti? Can we see this? Have we gone through this town? Have we also, the word here is parishanubhavo, a direct experience of Krishna. The acharya's comment, it may be difficult to immediately look out for a direct experience of Krishna because that happens on the stage of bhava, devotional love. But more insights into Krishna's nature, that is what we should look for. Do we have more insights into our Lord's heart, into his mind, how he feels, and so on. And finally, do we develop also the sense of vairagya, detachment from the world. Very important things. Actually, I remember how Srila Prabhupada instructed us in the beginnings of our Krishna consciousness. He just mentioned one of these symptoms once. When he was asked how we could measure our advancement, he said, you should look whether you are detached really from material life. For that you should look. This is a measure. And he gave the example of measuring a fever. I think I must have told this to you many times. When you see that the attachment goes up in your life, to material existence, it means the fever of material life is increasing, just like a thermometer which you will put to measure your body temperature. If it goes up, it's not a good sign. It's a bad sign. So when your attachment goes up, it's a bad sign. There's something wrong. You can measure like this. Yes. Of course, what we are looking for when we are talking now about advancement and devotion and direct insights into the nature of the Lord and vairagya, we look actually for one quality only. This one quality is the foundational principle of all these other experiences. Ojashvi, what do you think is this quality? I just noticed you were going late to bed yesterday, and the effects of tiredness came into your life. So, can any one of you give me a symptom you should, which is underlying all these symptoms? What? Humility. Yeah, I'm collecting. Are there others?
Eagerness.
Yes. You need to be eager to get it. Attachment to Krishna, some Milan said. Yeah. Your answers are all right. Looking from the different perspectives through which you have looked in order to give this answer, what is the foundational principle of advancement? I had something different in mind. I was thinking of something like Milan said. He said attachment to Krishna. I thought of taste in Krishna consciousness. When you have a strong root, when you have ruchi, a taste in Krishna consciousness, which is a practical experience, then it will be easy for you to have bhakti and direct experience and also detachment. Now, a taste in Krishna consciousness is described in a very nice way, I got this out of a lecture from Mahanidhi Maharaj, who quoted one acharya. He said, the taste is a strong mental taste for hearing and chanting, which excels one's attraction to any other attractive things. It's a special relish where you feel no fatigue. Now, yesterday I had a little experience of this. We had this wonderful program where the devotees spoke about their realizations on their pilgrimages. And afterwards I had a few very encouraging conversations with devotees. Some of them said they made firm plans to come to Vrindavan in the next year, and I felt very encouraged because I wanted to enthuse my audience to make a pilgrimage also in their own lives. And I felt, oh, this evening was a success. A few sincere souls have become inspired to go on the pilgrimage. Anyway, so I was going up in the room, and I was very tired because of the jet lag and coming. And then, for a moment, something wonderful happened due to the mercy of Gonitaya. All of a sudden, I thought in my heart, well, if I now sleep, I have slept so much in my life. My life is running. I don't want to sleep, actually. I want to read. And I was very tired, I remember. I read, and I couldn't keep anything in my memory. But all of a sudden, this was Krishna's mercy on me. I developed a taste, and I could not stop reading. I think all of you know this, isn't it? You, all of a sudden, something comes in your heart, and you feel so enthusiastic. Or it may also happen during bhajan or kirtan. I think, Ojashvi, you know, sometimes as a kirtan leader, you really, it's late, and you want to go to bed, and Krishna, and tomorrow is another day, we will do kirtan tomorrow. You feel like this, huh? But then all of a sudden you feel, oh, actually, the holy name is the best thing which could happen in my life. Let me chant more. Isn't it? So we feel like this. A sudden taste comes. Vishwanath Chakravarti says, this can happen also on the level of sadhan bhakti, devotional practice, devotional service in practice. So this taste is defined as a special relish, a strong mental enthusiasm, where you have no fatigue any longer. Fatigue means tiredness. It's a gift in bhakti. My dear devotees, I really feel we should look for this in our life. Because if we can act according to taste, our practice will be very, very strong. If we act only because we have to force ourselves, Krishna. It will sometimes be high, our practice, and sometimes also be low. So this mental taste the sign of it is that you have so much taste that you will be unmoved even if things happen in your life which would have ordinarily, that means in the times when you did not have this taste, moved you. Like grief. Grief is a... Do you know the translation of grief? Yeah. The example which is given is Srivas Thakur, whose son died in the midst of a kirtan of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I believe you are familiar with this Leela, how Mahaprabhu went every night to perform his nocturnal kirtans at the house of Srivas Thakur, Srivasangam. It's described in our scriptures that in Gaura Leela, that's the Rasa Leela Stali, the place where the Lord dances with his most beloved devotees. And if you ever wish to enter the Rasa Stali, the divine love dance of Krishna, you should do so through Shiva Sangam. That means through Gaura Leela and Lord Chaitanya's ecstatic Leela. That's what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur taught his disciples and us. So in this Shiva Sangam, in this place, Lord Chaitanya would each day dance and chant just like Krishna and Vrindavan would go every night to Vansivat and dance there and chant there. So, in the midst of one of these kirtans, in one of the rooms, the son of Shrivas Thakur suddenly died. But Shrivas Thakur had such a taste in Krishna consciousness that he was not so much moved, and he requested his wife and the other women who were grieving and lamenting and crying, as it is natural, to please stop, because that would this grieving would cause an obstacle to the Lord's kirtan. He had so much taste. He didn't even cry or lament. His mind was not moved, in other words, by the strong feeling of grief. This is what taste means, when your mind is actually protected against material movements. There's other material movements in the mind, like attachment to non-Krishna conscious things, which have always been described to be the severest or biggest obstacle in our devotional life. This is a movement in the mind. You all of a sudden move in your mind towards that which you are attached to. Or anger, for instance, frustration with someone or a situation. That's another movement of the mind. Your mind gets moved by this existential bitterness or frustration. Why didn't this work out? No, when you have taste in Krishna consciousness, then the mind is fixed or arrested on the transcendental platform, and you are actually protected. I was thinking about this morning when I sang the theme melody of our retreat, Govardhan retreat. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I always used to sing it with one particular harmonium player who knows this melody very, very well. And this morning there was a new harmonium player who is very talented in the Academy of Arts, but this melody is not yet totally in the practice of this harmonium player. And I noticed how my mind was getting frustrated. Oh, I wanted to sing this nice melody, but somehow we don't have the right the right ras, the kirtan leader will say ras in that sense, that the right feeling is not yet there, this musical feeling. And my mind was moving towards frustration. And I said, no, why do you, foolish mind, why do you become frustrated? You should relish the chanting of the holy name. And I was trying to chant the holy name. It's not about melodies when we sing. It's about worship of Krishna. And so on. So I just wanted to give you an example how the mind is usually moving according to the different experiences. But if you have ruchi, that is a strong mental taste, your mind gets arrested and stays with spiritual life. Ruchi is very important. Your mind, when you have ruchi, will move in three directions. The mind, which has a material taste, usually moves in the directions of attachment to material objects, to grief, to frustration and all these things. Would you like to hear a little spiritual psychology, how the mind moves when you have ruchi? I think it's interesting. First of all, you will have anukulya abhilas. This is a Sanskrit term which means you will have the desire to serve Krishna favorable. That means in a way which is good for Krishna. That's the, your mind will just move in this direction. Wow, I should do something for Krishna. Yeah, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur this morning I read something. Where was it? Here it was, here. It means a melted heart. Ruchi means melted heart. The heart is melted by the fire of anxiety and one wishes to see the Lord, and in this way the heart becomes like the Jambu Nada. It's a river of rose apple juice. The heart just goes like a river, moves like a heaver, like a river. I must come to my Lord. I must serve my Lord favorable, like a river of rose apple juice. I do not know what is the taste of a rose apple. Have you tasted? I have no idea. Rose apple juice. It sounds nice, you know, a rose apple. So this is how your mind, it moves like a river of rose apple juice in the direction. I wish to serve Krishna. The second is, harda avilas. You desire to establish a favorable relationship. Yeah, is it? Yeah, we have Croatia. Croatia is full.
Jambu means
that fruit. That fruit, rose apple. Yes, yeah. Yes. Okay, let us move to the next point. Sohada Abhilas means the second desire. You want to establish a favorable relationship with Krishna. You just feel, I should have a relationship with Krishna. Soharda like chrit, and abhilash means desire. You want to establish a favorable relationship. I believe in this world we have this. You know, we want to establish a relationship to someone. It's very strong at the beginning of, for instance, marriage life. There is a desire in both of the partners. We want to actually develop a relationship. And then there will be many, many talks about this subject. I can imagine that our Mandakini and old Josh, we have spent days talking about this subject. Isn't it? It's natural. It's natural. Please don't, this is natural. You need to have a relationship, and you feel only satisfied if the relationship is actually something where you are sure this is a relationship. I believe in a different way that happens also when we feel attracted to an older devotee in our congregation who may live with us in our town, and we see this devotee has many good realizations in Krishna consciousness, and then we want to somehow be closer to that devotee, to be able to call him on the mobile phone and to ask questions when we have questions and so on. So that type of thing which is within our experience, when you develop ruchi, becomes transferred to Krishna. You actually want a favorable relationship. And the last desire is called prapti abhilas. Prapti, like prapti means to attain. To attain a specific service to Krishna. We have heard about this, that the devotee will pray to Krishna. My dear Lord, when will you call me, who am standing nearby you, and you will tell me, take this fan now and fan me like this. And the Lord teaches us then how the fan should be used, so that the fan dries the beads of perspiration from his beautiful forehead, and to attain a specific service to Krishna. These are three desires which come when the heart is full with ruchi. Now, the question is for all of us devotees in Krishna consciousness, how can we attain this wonderful state of ruchi? Would you like to be are you interested in this subject? For me, this is always the question of my life. How do I get to this stage where I have a strong mental taste, so that I'm no longer disturbed by the movements of the mind? My dear devotees, you are now young and strong, but when you become older, the mind even moves more. It's a vata type of situation. And of course, then you know, I want to have ruchi in my life. It's important for me. And here is a very nice answer to this. I think many answers have been given. It usually says that when you are in association with devotees who have such feelings, then it comes. But today I would like to give you another perspective on this, which I very much feel is very practical to all of us. See, this taste in Krishna consciousness has to be given to you by Krishna himself. He has to add his kripa to something which you bring into the relationship, and that is an enthusiasm to serve him. When Krishna sees how you are enthusiastic for your devotional service, then he may, if he wants so, give you his kripa. Krishna sees that you want to serve him, and you do this, you somehow do your service for Krishna, and all of a sudden, it's very difficult to say how you feel this taste in Krishna consciousness. I believe many of us have made some experience in this. Imagine, for instance, yesterday, I said this to to Sharanga Thakur. Imagine our Sankirtan devotees, they go now out in this, look at this weather, Prabhu. This is not a weather to go out, you know. But the Sankirtan devotees go out with the Knigorskis, and they give the Knigorskis to the people, and then, you know, it's cold, and I have been often out on Sankirtan in this weather. In fact, I only remember going out in this weather, because this weather is very much impressive to me. And I know you go out, please, and you are frozen, you can't even speak, you know, you can only move your hand like this, not like this. And then all of a sudden, and the people are frozen, they don't want to touch anything, not at least not a cold book on the street, and they say, voila, I'm sorry, it's too cold, you know, come back in the summer. You know, you know, nothing moves. And all of a sudden, as you continue to do your service, thinking, this is my service to Krishna, I will try, let me try some more. Then all of a sudden a strong taste comes. it is said, the Lord is naturally full of kripa, mercy. And this mercy comes out of him when he sees the enthusiasm of his devotees to serve him. And only if you get this mercy to your own endeavors will you can come on the level of taste for Krishna. Let me give you an example which Jiva Goswami gives us. Have you seen the sugar cane sticks? You might have seen in India. They are naturally full of juice. But how will the juice come out? The juice comes out when the sugar cane is pressed. There are these, you know, next to the Govardhan Parikrama, you can see these little machines, you know, which have, how to say it in English, this iron rolls. In Deutsch würde man sagen Walze. Valyak, like Walze, yes, Valyak. So it has this Valyak, these two Valyaks. And then people turn the Valyaks and put the sugar cane inside. And when there's the pressure on the sugar cane from the Valyaks, then the juice comes out. So Krishna is like, Krishna's heart is like sugar cane, which is full of juice. In the same way, Krishna's heart is full of kripa. And when he sees how you serve him, then this is something like a pressure on his soft heart, a loving pressure. He feels, wow, my devotee is trying to serve me, you know. And this soft pressure, I mean, I think we don't like to think of putting pressure on Krishna's soft heart, but the thing brings Krishna's kripa. And the moment the kripa comes into your life, Krishna's kripa, then all of a sudden you have this taste in Krishna consciousness. It's a nice example from Jiva Goswami, isn't it? And you need, Prabhus, let us not be in illusion about this. We need a spiritual help. We need help to Krishna, from Krishna, to come to the level of enlightened devotional service. I remember a few months ago, before I left for Malaloshin, I had a preaching program in Rijeka, and two young devotees came to me. They looked so disturbed, you know, almost like in a movie of mental disturbance, you know. So disturbed. And I said, oh my God, what is wrong with you? And then the devotee told me, I have no gust, I have no taste, I sometimes wonder if this is the right path for me. And in my heart I thought, oh, God, now the devotee is tested. We will see in 1 month if he is really a devotee or not. When I come back from India, I will look into his eyes and see if something has changed. And it was clear to me what this devotee was looking for, and what also, as an older devotee, I was looking for, is that the devotee would again get his faith back and his taste also in Krishna consciousness. This taste is always a mercy of Krishna. It has to come from above. It cannot come from you. Bhakti is something from above. We always say, the door to Krishna consciousness opens from the inside. That means Radha and Krishna have to open the door. You can't open the door from the outside by pushing against this. Open, open, it's me, I'm so qualified. No, it's... have you ever tried to push open a door? You know, it just doesn't work. You can break your bones, you know. But when has to be opened from another direction. Krishna. I'm so qualified. Hare Krishna. So this ruchi, Krishna gives you this taste, and from that attachment comes, from that love comes. All the things in Krishna consciousness come from that taste in Krishna consciousness. He gives it to you when he sees your enthusiasm. To really give your best. And then his heart becomes, I don't want to say pressured, although this is the example, but his heart, let us use the word, his heart becomes moved, and then the kripa, his mercy, will move in your direction. I know at the beginning, when we hear this, oh, Sachinanda Swami, you wanted to tell us how we get taste, and you said, we get taste by enthusiasm, but enthusiasm is already something which you do only when you have taste. So you have given a circle argument. Congratulations. You must have slept too long this morning to give us such an answer. Hare Krishna. You follow my logic? You said enthusiastic service moves Krishna's heart so that the juice of kripa flows out. Huh? And you gave the sugar cane example. But enthusiastic service, that's already something which, I mean, when I have no taste, then I have no enthusiasm. Isn't it Vijayagaranga? Then I have attraction to material things in my heart. Listen very carefully about one quality of Krishna. When you start your service to him, you are not yet mature in devotional service. And immature devotional service means you have so many other motivations still. You are still so attracted to in some degrees, attracted to material life. I know, if I look in my heart, I'm not free from all attractions to material life. And I know it's... Some work needs to, I mean, something still has to happen. Krishna has a very amazing quality, and that is that he is very merciful. And his mercy means that he sees, he is my devotee. He has still material desires, material attractions. He is actually a fool. He thinks like this. Lord thinks like this. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says he's like the mother. The mother sees her little child is attracted to eating dirt. Have you seen such children? They go, it's a certain age, I believe. 3 years of age, you just eat dirt. Good. And the mother thinks, oh, my child doesn't really so much know what is good to eat and what is not good to eat. So the mother will take with her finger the dirt out of the mouth and put a nice sandwich instead. Sandwich is a milk sweet into the mouth. No? This is what the mother will do. I know. When I was in living in the temple, I had a little boy. Mark Aurelius was his name. It was a cousin of mine. He was very young and very slutky, and I had taught him already how to walk, And now I thought I should also teach him how to eat. And I remember he was in that age where he ate all with the dirt. And I had seen other women, you know, mothers taking out the dirt of the mouth and giving a sweet in there. So I said, Mark Aurelius, come here. You have such a good name, you know. It sounds so aristocratic and you are eating dirt. So open your mouth. Ah! And then I took it. And then he bit me in the finger. Mark Aurelius was not so aristocratic as his name was, you know. Mark! I'm your well-wisher and you're biting me. So then I put a stick in his mouth, you know, because, and then I cleaned his mouth. Ah, and he was screaming at me and I put a sweet inside. So I remember this very, very much. Also, Krishna is sometimes like this. He sometimes takes the material life out of our mouth. At that time, we shouldn't bite. At that time, we should be ready to let go, you know, of when the devotees take material things out of our umskis, out of our mind. We should not bite them. We should be okay, Krishna. And then gives us the sweet of devotional service. This example has been given by in Vilap Kusha Manjali by Raghunath Das Goswami, who says to Sanatana Goswami, you have forced me to drink the sweet juice of devotional service, of Vairagya Vidya Nitya Bhakti Yoga. You have forced me actually to drink this drink. This is what devotees do and what Krishna does. When you see how Krishna treats your material attachments by taking them out, don't remain attached to him. Don't bite the hand which helps you. Understand, oh yes, my Lord is now trying to give me a taste in the real things. And he removes the taste in the unreal things. Material life becomes difficult for me at the moment. I don't feel the same encouragement from, I don't feel the same friendship, I don't feel the same this and that. Now I should take more shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. Yes. And once Krishna sees that, how you agree to his merciful treatment, to take away the material taste and to give you a spiritual taste, his heart becomes moved and he will quickly give you the taste which you require in your spiritual life. For this, I would all recommend you something which I've discussed with one young devotee. See, most of us are congregational devotees. This is the natural and I find a good development in the establishing of Krishna consciousness. But when we are congregational devotees, there we are surrounded a lot with material things. There's the TV, and there is so many things. I don't want to go into the details. And for that reason, our mind will always struggle with the concept of purity. Because so many things are always entering the mind from the outside. So I would recommend something to you which was done in the olden times in the spiritual cultures of the world. That is that you make a retreat. You leave your town and come and live in the temple for a month or so, you know. I believe our temple here is ideal for such a situation because the atmosphere in this temple is exceptionally well. You sleep like a good dreams, it's very spiritual atmosphere. It's because of Gonitai's mercy and somehow also the, I don't know if it's the Vastu or something, there's a special good influence for becoming peaceful. I believe this is important, this retreat time for each one of us, because see, we still have so much taste for material things in our mouth, and when we are in the midst of our lives, we will not really get this purity in our heart. It will always be a little bit mixed with our old habits, our old patterns of life. See, in old times, it was always that people went on pilgrimage. Yesterday we talked on pilgrimage. Because then you get this orientation. I can tell you, all of us who just returned from Vrindavan, we really feel very inspired in Krishna consciousness. And we do, at this moment, not think of nonsense. We just want Krishna. That's a natural result which you get when you go on pilgrimage or if you go to a retreat. The earth, I don't want to say dirt now, the earth is removed from our mouth and Krishna has put a sandesh inside. It's really, this is the feeling. Some of you have commented, you look so different. You know, devotees who... about, isn't it when a devotee returns from Vrindavan, there is a difference in how the devotee looks. Have you noted that? It's, and you, then your, the mind looks, why does this person look different? And when I was, a young devotee, I thought, well, diarrhea, you know, what is diarrhea in Croatian language? Diarrhea, yeah. They look more slim, you know. And yes, we look a little bit more skinny. I don't see it any longer. I'm looking at the devotees. No. Dayanita, you look, it's same, no, this problem here. What is different is really not, yes, some of us might have gotten the unavoidable Indian bacteria into their stomachs. It is unavoidable. Everyone who goes there gets it. It's just a different bacteria flora. But that's not really a good explanation. That maybe in some cases some people may look a little bit more skinny. But the main thing is there's something else in the heart. Krishna has just taken something out, put something in. And it's therefore very important for our dear pilgrims. You have to immediately now continue on that level, doing devotional service and continuing your spiritual life. Don't go down again, you know. Krishna. So this is the experience of a retreat, and I want to encourage especially our congregational devotees, actually the congregational preaching ministry, at least in the beginning when I was very much involved in it, we always thought our devotees need to have retreats. That's very important. And one very simple retreat is you come to the temple and you do a month's temple program, reading, chanting, and the regular temple program. It will help you to get this, to get closer to this ruchi. And ruchi is important. Without ruchi, my dear devotees, you won't stay for a long time, devotees. This is the statistical reality. Hare Krishna. And with Ruchi, I mean here was what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, that even in the beginning of sadhana bhakti, that is devotional service and practice, these things can be experienced by a devotee. That's the nature of bhakti. I don't mean necessarily the high state of ruchi, which leads to asakti and bhava and prema. So let me summarize everything in one sentence. When Krishna sees you doing your service enthusiastically, he will add to your practice a drop of kripa, and this will give you the taste which you need. That's my most important point today in this lecture. Hare Krishna. Does any one of you have any question? Govinda Nandan, Pavle, Balanandini. Okay, Govinda Nandan. Yeah. Would you be satisfied to ask one at a time? Mm-hmm.
You said that when we have ruchi, then we are not so much moved in our mind when some things happen, like you said, with this
grief.
But on the other hand, maybe we have some problems in the past, and then we are not acting accordingly, like we don't feel grief just because we are not, we don't have it.
We don't have feelings.
No,
yeah.
We don't have feelings at all. So, how to distinguish these two things? When someone has a ruchi and then acts on this platform, and when someone doesn't have a ruchi but acts on this platform, and actually this is not so favorable for the ocean.
No. See, when Srivas Thakur was not being moved by grief, it doesn't mean that he didn't feel grief. I remember reading this passage in Chaitanya Bhagavata, and he went to the to his wife, and they were really crying, and Srivas Thakur's point was, he has gone back to Vaikuntha, and the Lord dances in our heart, in our house. So we all know when a devotee says another devotee went back to Vaikuntha, he has that feeling of separation from that devotee. It's that grief is there, but it's a mixture. There is grief there, but at the same time joy. He has gone back. It's described when a devotee leaves, there's this mixture of feelings there. Conflicting emotions almost. So you are concerned with a person who doesn't feel naturally because his feelings have become, the English word would be atrophied. How do we say atrophied? Same. Good. Your languages are much like Hindi. Also, the difficult English words in Hindi are kept, you know. Yes, nice. Atrophied. That encourages me to learn Bosnian and Croatian. Yes, they have. If the feelings have become atrophied, then you need to deal with that. That's a difficult thing. Govinda Nandan, I can only give one answer. I'm at the moment, yesterday I could start on this, with Pavle's help, because Pavli is our philosopher, and he just to have him near kept me, did me go to work a little on the Vedic path. I will try to design something to help devotees. It's called the Sattva module, that they rise out of Tama and Rajas and come to Sattva, where the natural emotions are there. Their person has again natural emotions. It's, in other words, an attempt to give the modern person a psychological help. But it's different, it will be different than all these psychological helps which are available on the market, because they can better go to these therapies. Why should we as devotees learn what is already available on the market? But we have a different concept, you know. Our concept of psychological well-being is when you are in Sattva Gun, then you have these. And we give different means to come to Sattva Gun. I have already a personality index, and you know, we are working on this. Usually it is said when a devotee makes advancement in Krishna consciousness, he automatically leaves Rajas and Tamas, where his emotions are captured and something unnatural is there. He feels all of a sudden helped. I think we all know this in terms of, I will speak about a taboo now. Fasten your seatbelts, please. Lust. We sometimes feel lust towards people. That's a natural psychological movement. And that means the influence of Rajas is strong at the moment. So when we come to the mode of goodness by our life's practice, then we can see how this lust goes all of a sudden in the background, and we see other people as spiritual souls. This vision is there. And just by coming on that level of goodness, something changes in the psychology. This is the help which I feel we can give. But I recognize there may be people who have psychological problems, who need other methods which are not so subtle. I just know there was a case in our which I got to know about, and is an anxiety disorder, and that devotee went to the treatment in Mainz, and it apparently helped very much. I was surprised and happy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, there was another one, Pavle.
It is also regarding the Aruchi topic.
Yeah.
So you explained nicely how once we come on the level of taste, we won't be disturbed by the unknowingness of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
My unfortunate case, which is starting to concern me now, really, is that sometimes I feel like I received this drop of Kripa by Lord Krishna, and some taste I do feel. And it is very nice, especially I remember like when I was in the Holy Place, the taste really increased.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is that after some time, it appears like this taste evaporates.
Yeah.
And I find myself on the beginning again. Mm-hmm. And it comes again, but again it goes away. So what to do? How to keep permanent?
Sure. It's Krishna gives us a taste, but then he expects that we do our work with that taste and purify our existence, so much so that we can come to the platform of constancy, to be constant. So when you got something from Krishna, you have to immediately use it to make your way into the constant realm. But also one thing I want to tell you, Pavle, as long as we have the mind, there is unfortunately the situation that it sometimes goes up and down. You can't avoid it. It's the way the mind moves, you know. So, don't identify with it. I was thinking yesterday about it. I come back from India, and when I come back to India, I'm doubly as tired as I am. And then you just go through your life, and you're tired, but you just observe it. Therefore, in the Vedic path, which I'm working, and yesterday we put a few things of that in the Atma module. There's a lot of stress on Prabhupada's first teaching that we are not the body and the mind. You sometimes have to learn to tolerate that the mind is materially involved. You just have to look at it and not identify with it. And I think a very important sign of a devotee is that even if sometimes due to the being still in the material world and having a material body, the taste goes and one has other feelings, one doesn't identify with them, one just looks at them. But I want to give you now my main answer, how to maintain ruchi. Keep good association with devotees with whom you can discuss on a spiritual level which satisfies your heart. It's very important for us, these devotional associations. Devotees told me, I have a few friends. I'm unfortunately not a very social person, so I don't have so many friends, but I have a few friends. When I talk with them on the level of Krishna consciousness, which I feel comfortable with, then it usually does me very well in my Krishna conscious life. That I would suggest to you. Ruchi is really a question for many of us. It's a question of purity when the lower modes and their influences are not there. And for that I would also suggest to you and your and the people who are close to you to sometimes come and be in connection with the temple. In householder life in the old times, we were always encouraged to worship Krishna on the altar. That is something which is going on very much here in the Zagreb temple, and which we also want to increase in the future, that devotees in the congregation can sometimes come and worship the deity on the altar. That personal service to Krishna is after all one of the three symptoms of this ruchi mind, to serve Krishna favorable, to desire to establish a favorable relationship, to attain a specific service to Krishna. These are ruchi matters, and they can be exercised in deity worship. That's why the Lord comes into this world, to help us remain on that level. Maybe you sometimes come because you may not yet have an initiation which entitles you to do the service, the Brahman initiation. You can do what I did. My early devotional life is all around Radha Madan Mohan or deities. I would always go and read for the deities and sing for the deities. And I remember George Harrison, who was really surrounded with a lot of material people. Whenever he would come to the temple, he would come and sing. Once he came to the Hamburg temple and he said, "Can we sing for Krishna, please?" And we said, "It's not Arctic time." "No, please come and sing." And then those who had time in the service, we went and we sang with him. He came often to the Hamburg temple because he had that record business in Hamburg. Do something for, he knew that will give one the necessary taste. Sing for the deities, do some service for the deity. Because these are ruchi matters, to serve Krishna favorable. You are a philosopher, why not read the Bhagavad Gita to the Krishna? Then desire to establish a favorable relationship. Why not come and bring some apple, something for the deities? We are encouraged like this. In the Nectar of Devotion it says, when you come for the deities, you must always bring a fruit. I know in the New York temple, when you go for the darshan of the deities, they have automatized it. There is, before the temple, there is a fruit basket, and you can take a fruit and then offer it to the deity. It's a beginning. You know, later maybe one devotee will think, well, I've always taken from the fruit basket, but now I will go on the market, get the fruit, and then offer it. You have to establish a relationship with Krishna. Then Krishna's milas will come again, and again and again, that kripa drop, and give you something. Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna. Banadandini.
Speaking about how devotees should practice Krishna conscious life without their mental expectations.
Mm-hmm.
How they should practice real Krishna conscious life. Could you give us a hint? Now the topic that you were talking about, serving Krishna with this enthusiasm for getting his mercy to get rich, is there a guide, let's say, guideline to following footsteps to maybe read prayers before
or
of our
childhood,
so that we stay on the right track with our emotions, that we bring into the Seva, not that we go.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Jednostavno tijekom vezano za ovu temu što je radim u službi sa znanjem, da li možda da imamo neka uputa, recimo da slijedimo stopu naše posljednika čara, da li je to raspoloženje kako se radim u službi, da ne ulazim u naše emocije ili kao se ne
Serving Krishna according to one's mental conception, there's one painter who talked about this. He wanted to have an example. The painter had painted Krishna in a sad mood. And his idea was Krishna was thinking about the gopis. And he presented the picture to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada didn't think that this was an authentic picture, a real picture. He said, Krishna is never depressed. It's a wrong picture. And then the devotee was very, very, you know, to make a painting, you know, just put a lot of your heart into it. The devotee felt very painstaken. And Prabhupada said, okay, this picture is a picture of Krishna when he pretends to have a headache. You know, there's Krishna pretends to have a headache, and because he wants to show the glories of the devotee, the gopis' love, and Narada Muni asked him, what can we do to relieve your headache? And Krishna said, there's only one medicine, but it's very hard to get it. That's the dust from the feet of my devotees. He said, Narada Muni, must be easy to get this, because if the devotees feel this is what helps your headache, they will easily give it. So he goes, Narada Muni goes to the Brahmanas in Kashi and ask them if they're devotees of Krishna, they say yes. And he says, oh, Krishna has a headache, please give me your dust from the feet. Oh, said the brahmanas, never, never. If we get the dust from your feet, we give them to Krishna, if we give the dust from our feet to Krishna, we will go to hell. I mean, even if you touch the deities with your foot, this is an offense, you know, what to speak of giving the dust. So, Narada Muni then goes to the queens of Krishna and Dwaraka and tells them the problem and the medicine against the problem. And the queens also are not willing to give the dust from their feet. Their reason is, we give that dust to Krishna, we will go to hell. And we wouldn't mind to go to hell. But, in the hell we don't see Krishna. And if we don't see Krishna, in this separation of not seeing Krishna, we will die. So we can't commit suicide and give the dust from our feet. So then Narada Muni goes to the gopis and asks the gopis for their dust. And the gopis finally agree and give him the dust. Narada Muni says, are you not afraid of going to hell? And maybe being separated from Krishna. The gopis joyfully say, no, if this helps Krishna's headache, we are very much willing to give this. This is the example of selfless love. Anyway, so Prabhupada had this pastime in mind and said, here Krishna pretends to have a headache. Because the way Krishna longs for Krishna, the way Krishna longs for the gopis is really different than we are accustomed to. There are many differences in Krishna Leela. And therefore we must be sure to not make Krishna an object of our mental speculation. It will not be transcendental, it's mundane. So you now said, so how can we avoid mental speculations in regard to Krishna and serve him according to, also with proper feelings? And I feel in your answer, in your question, you have already pointed at the answer. See, the way the Goswamis of Vrindavan served Krishna was that they would chant and they would offer their obeisances. And when they would offer obeisances, they would often recite prayers. And for that reason, they have written these wonderful prayer books like Stavavala, Nistavamala, Stavavali, and all these wonderful prayers which are there. And when you are doing your japa, you might include some of these prayers sometimes. You might do this at the beginning or in the middle and so on, because that's the process of this. But what I usually recommend is that before you start your japa, you should do some prayers which will put you in the right mood. For instance, the Shikshastakam prayers are very, very good, and they are recited in some of our temples. And you should pray to in an ascending line. First, I always pray to five personalities before I start my japa. First, my spiritual master, then Nityananda, and then Gauranga, Nitai Gauranga, in other words. And then I pray to Radha and Krishna. Now, if I have more time or more feeling like this, I first pray to Srila Prabhupada, and then to Haridas Thakur, the six Goswamis, sometimes to Tulasi Devi, very good, And it helps you to come into the same, into the good frame of mind. But this coming into the frame of mind, which you need for your Krishna consciousness, is actually also done in another way. Prabhupada would always say, to bring us in the right frame of mind, we should read regularly in his books. He spoke of 1 hour. It's very interesting. While I'm saying this, I have a thought. I'm feeling myself a little bit like this, that somehow I was so lucky to be there when Prabhupada taught us directly, and now I can tell you what I heard my exalted spiritual master say. But what if our generation of Prabhupada disciple has all died out? It will come in a few years. You know, they are already leaving every year, a few. It's already has started. The exodus has started already. What if in a few years there will be no devotees who know these things? You know. Therefore, it's very important that you have to learn Krishna consciousness properly and say, yes, Prabhupada said, we heard this from someone who was his disciple, and that you also have to contact Prabhupada's books and lectures and learn all this. Huh? I just had an interesting flashback. I thought, okay, now I can say answer to a devotee how to come in the right frame of mind so that the practice which this devotee does is full of Krishna conscious feelings, proper feelings. I'm saying a simple thing, like read for 1 hour a day. Now, while I'm saying this, I know that no one of you does this. I know it. I know your lives as well as you know them, sometimes better. And I'm thinking in my mind, my God, now I'm saying it, but maybe the devotees will not do it, what I say. But at least I can say what is the way to do, to be in Krishna consciousness, because I learned it from Prabhupada. I can do it myself. And but what if people like me, I mean, I don't consider myself a special disciple of Prabhupada, not at all. They are much, much more advanced and good disciples than me. But what if all of them have left and no one can tell these things? One friend of mine asked me, do you think ISKCON will be different in 10 years? And I said, it's already now totally different from what it was 10 years ago. But in 10 years from now, many of us, I mean, many more older devotees will have left their bodies, and this information will not be given. So please, I can only beg you, do this. Start reading in earnestness and start, and then give these messages to the young devotees so that they can learn. I really feel in this temple, in Zagreb temple, which, as far as I'm concerned, this is, it's special. I think you all feel it. Just look how peaceful you feel here. Isn't it? It's extremely peaceful. And we are quite close to the town. I mean, in the night you can look through the windows when you go up from your, when you go to the bathroom, and you can look, and the town is just before the feet. Just before the feet. But it's so peaceful here. Mm. Krishna. Only in the night the dogs are also awake. Some communication they have. I have noticed. It's all right, let them do. And in my room there's a mouse. The mouse always starts at 3 o'clock. It's a very regulated temple mouse. It's a pure sadhaka. Under the bed it goes like tries to chant. No problem. Let mouse is also devotee. It's so peaceful. It's really nice. So here it should be possible to have 1 hour reading time. I believe we should all aspire for this. We temporary residents. We have a wonderful congregation which takes nice care of the deities, and we can encourage them to do this more. And then many nice devotees could come. We should avoid to be pushed in the stress area in our lives. Oh, this is terrible. Stress is terrible. It's good for a few days, but not for life. So prayers, but more than that, Vanunandini, reading regularly an hour. You will see. It is very, very wonderful. See, we older devotees are trained like this, and I can't, when I have not read for a day, which also happens, then I just read in the evening, because I know my mind needs to be in the right frame of mind to perform devotional service. Now I will start this. The Uddhava Gita. It is from the 11th canto with purpose of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It's a very wonderful book. I bought it. No, it was given as a present from Madhvan Kishori to me. Krishna. Okay, so we have reached, I think, in the good end. Oh, 9:30. But you don't even notice how the time goes because it's so peaceful here. I mean, in a good sense, it's good for spiritual practice. So I wish you a wonderful day. Please all be there at 5 o'clock and help the congregation. We will also ask our Ujjashvi to sing bhajans. Please do. Even during the day, you might like to sing with with the devotees who came with you from Sarajevo and from here for the pleasure of the Lord. It's very good. But I'm thinking especially during the Sunday feast. Huh? You can get out your favorite melodies. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaur Nitai ki, Gaur Prema Nandi Hari Hari Bol.